What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock, and today, is April 23rd, and yes, we're going to talk about baseball. Dustin May, no! I was calling you that guy with such a solid floor because that sinker is really hard to hit. The sweeper is hard to hit. The cutter is hard to hit. You have these four seamers that go upstairs. It was a weird day in Wrigley, and I should say that Imanaga was struggling as well in this one. He made it work, but it wasn't him normally. As his normal self, but he did fine. It was like six innings, 200 runs against the Dodgers, and we're not really going to talk about Imanaga anymore because it's fine, guys. But Dustin May, oh man, Dustin off the cobwebs, not a fun game. And this ended as five innings, seven earned runs, 10 hits, three walks, five Ks. The thing about this one that was so strange was that he threw so many sweepers, about 50% usage, which is not the life for Dustin May. It should be tons of sinkers, especially to right-handers. And then against left-handers, we should see more of those cutters. We should still see some sinkers. We should see some changeups from there, hopefully. We should see some four-seamers upstairs, and then some sweepers. And sweepers really against opposite-handed batters should not be the play. So this was a weird one. And yes, left-handers is the biggest weakness for a guy like May, who's very sinker-heavy. I do think the cutter should get more play moving forward. But then again, he didn't really have it yesterday, so I understand why he didn't throw it as much as you would think. The good news, he gets Miami next, and then if it's still the six-man rotation that the Dodgers have hinted at, it would be Miami again, and he would skip that last game against Atlanta. So, look, I'm here to hear all your complaints and all the things, everything I said. Oh, you said Dustin May is going to be great, blah, 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 blah. I don't throw the ball, okay? But come on. You guys know Dustin May is someone you want to hold on to. Guys are going to have bad starts. This was one of them. It is not a death sentence for the rest of the year. We just carry on, and everything is whatever. Mitchell Parker had a great night. Eight innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 2 walks, and 4 Ks for a minimum score of 8. If you don't know that, it's essentially going 8 innings and you don't do anything on the line. It's just all outs in play. And when you have a minimalist score, essentially just say to you, okay, is this a guy who should constantly be inducing weak contact and outs? And Mitchell Parker, I will say, is better than others at featuring a wide arsenal. He really does split between four-seamer, splitter, curve, and slider pretty well. I mean, lefties get more of a two-pitch mix of the fastball and the slider, while righties get a bit of everything with fewer sliders and more curves and splitters, of course. And this against the Orioles getting a win, yeah, it's not really anything that I want to hang my hat on. This was pretty much just this four-seamer getting those outs. Command wasn't even really that stellar. He didn't gain velocity. And I think some are going to say, hey, Mitchell Parker's doing his thing. He's awesome. I'm going to roll with him. Sure. If you want to do that, go right ahead. I do not blame you. But Mitchell Parker is not really in the midst of that breakout season. I want him to be. I don't really think he is. He gets the Mets next. That's fine. But I don't really feel like you have to hold on to this. I would say Mitchell Parker has potential. It's just you need more velocity. You need to really have, I think, stronger command than what we saw yesterday. That was Koufax having some fun with the Orioles because, my gosh, it is not fun being an Orioles fan at the moment. Nick Pivetta against the Tigers did great. 7 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. We're seeing a little bit more than just four-seamer sweeper against righties. We're still seeing a lot of sweepers, but we did see about 18% cutters in there too. Just 1 out of 10 CSW, though, and sure, some outs, but, you know, not really an amazing pitch. With Pivetta, I actually just did my buckets. That is, for PL Pro members, you get the sit and start for the next week ahead in full, so that you can actually plan out your weeks early. And it's a whole grid of just where my, you know, my four tiers are. It's not full rankings. You got to wait for the streaming article for that. But for Nick Pivetta, I see that he gets a good matchup next against the Giants, and I'm like, you know what? I feel like that's just an auto start at this point. I think I have him improbable, but I totally get it. If you have Pivetta, you're not benching him there. Chris Bubich against Rocky Road. Oh, thank you so much for the gift that is Rocky Road, because honestly, Bubich did not pitch at his peak. It was 14 whiffs, 31% CSW, yeah, but 7 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, he's a stud. This was like everything down the middle. It was donut command, as I call it, right? Everything in the middle or just outside the edges of the zone. So you pretty much have the shadow zone that you want completely empty. You don't want that. And Bubich, I'm happy you had this start against the Rockies on the road. But yeah, you just keep going with Bubich. Obviously, that shouldn't be the case moving forward. Davis Martin had a good start against the Twins. 5 innings of 0 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, 3 Ks. This was Koufax being nice and kind. Really bad feel for the slider. And the four-seamer had to be thrown 38% of the time. That is by far the worst pitch for Davis Martin, so we do not like this. Ryan Feltner at Kansas City. I got to hand it to Feltner. He's taking advantage of these games outside, of course. We saw this against the Rays. He did really well. And here it is in Kansas City. 7 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. Cool. Enjoy the gold star, my man. That's awesome. And I don't want to touch Feltner. Ronel Blanco against the Jays. Thank you. I appreciate you so much, Blanco. It was so strange seeing you throw so many curveballs, abandon that changeup, and here you are against Toronto getting the win, 6.2 innings of 1 run, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. Now, you have the slider much more so than the curve to both lefties and righties. That's good. You still saw some curves, but this is much, much better of a changeup. And you embrace the changeup again. That's cool. We got strikes across all three secondaries, and then the four-seamer was not at 60% strikes, and that's okay. Why is that okay, Nick? You always say like 60% strikes. That's like the threshold. No, no, no. Understand that Blanco's four-seamer is not very good. And what he does is he actually nibbles and goes outside the edges a lot to make sure that his secondaries are the pitches that gets guys out, not the four-seamer. So if he has secondaries for strikes, he can actually lay off the four-seamer a bit. I like this. This actually works with Blanco. It's what we saw last season. We also have the added curve. Well, the changeup and slider is still effective. So this is a much better version of Blanco. I hope that this one sticks. Billy Ober had a Bailey special, I guess. It was 9 base runners, 8 hits, though, singled out here with 1 walk. But 6 innings, 1 run, 6 Ks. That's great. You got to win against the White Sox. Okay. Right-handers saw better four-seamer command upstairs, left-handers than not. He was also a tick down on the four-seamer underneath 91. And I'm still thinking that Bailey Ober is actually closer to Eno Saris's ranking early in the season around like 50, 55 than he is around 25 and 30. So we're fine with Ober. He's just a Holly, low-end Holly at the moment. Griffin Canning against the Phillies got the win. 5 innings, 1 earned run, 7 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. If you watch this one live on YouTube, you know exactly why I'm laughing. And I've edited it out of the podcast. You got to go watch that. And I'm so sorry to everybody. Did not mean to do that. But Griffin Canning, it's good to see this. Have success. And I don't believe it. I'm sorry. I know everyone wants to get on the Griffin Canning train, and I get it. This was a game of his slider being really good down to right-handers and not being like dancing with the disco against them. 7 over 27 whiffs on the slider. The change and slider both had 70% strikes. And 33% four-seamers is good. I still think it's too hittable. He is above 94 now, not like 93, 94. He's like 94, 95. Maybe the cutter can replace the slider to left-handers. I still feel like Griffin Canning, like this is him pitching above his weight. And it's still like 1.6 whip. Like it's not incredible, but this is what you want really from Griffin Canning. This is like the high of it. Maybe stream him against the Nationals. I get it. Questionable start, but I really don't want to do that. You want Brian Bello against the Mariners. 5 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks. He's back. 97 pitches, too, is actually really cool. I did see, of course, in his AAA start that he was pretty much stretched out, but still 97 in the first one back is great. But then you think to yourself, 97 pitches for 5 innings, that is not efficient. No, it is not. Because the problem with Bello and why I've been kind of tepid on him entering this season is because following him throughout the roundup all last year, I was excited. I thought, okay, you have 2 pitches that work, which are the changeup and the sinker. What you needed is the slider. Oh my gosh, the slider shows up. But what happens is that it's like a rotating gear of either sinker, slider, or changeup. Pick the one that doesn't work today. It is so rare to see a Brian Bello start where all of them work. And I don't just mean like he gets more lefties or righties, so he throws one or the other. It just means that does he have the feel for all three? And the changeup was a 35% strike rate in this. So the sinker had 10 over 38 strikes. The slider actually wasn't that good either. So that called strike rate on the sinker is what got him through this one against the Mariners. It was in Fenway, not in Seattle, not on the tee. But I'm not in on Bello yet. You can say it's his first game back. I totally understand that. I'm just seeing, you know, flashbacks of last year of just every start. It's just like, come on, man, when are you going to get there? But 15 teamers, I would be chasing this. 12 teamers in quality start leagues, if you are feeling like there's nothing on the wire and no one picked up Bayo, yeah, I would go for this one. The next start you have for Brian Bayo, by the way, will be at Cleveland. And then that should be on Sunday. And then you get Minnesota, the Twins, the following weekend on Saturday. I think that's decent. I think that's fine. So for 12 teamers, that's okay. He's essentially going to be like a Toby. Now, it might be something more if he has all three pitches working. I'm not expecting that yet. Brandon Pfaadt against the Rays. He keeps going. Got the win, 6 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. He hosted them in Arizona. Only 9 whiffs and 26% CSW, but the changeup did well here. The curve wasn't nearly as good. I love seeing Pfaadt really lean to change and curve against lefties. I say it every single time, but it just doesn't stop. This is who he is now. And I made the comparison here in the roundup, and it's right. It's like, I wasn't in on Pfaadt because he was Windows Vista, but now he's Windows 10. And that's great. I feel awesome about this. We're going to talk about other guys, of course. Like Tanner Bibee had a really good game, I think. Maybe not. Did Will Warren survive it? Did Jack Flaherty do okay? We're going to talk about all of this and more after this break. Jose Quintana, 6 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks against the Giants got the win. That's 3 games of Quintana succeeding, and it feels weird. I gotta say, watching it, it's like 16 over 36 called strikes on your sinker. I mean, I get it because the changeup was always in the same realm and underneath it, and they didn't really know how to deal with it. It was only 50% strikes in the changeup, so they decided to be passive on the change because it wasn't like mistake pitches. They were competitive. They just took it. So they thought that the sinker was that every time and they got burned that way, right? It's kind of like how Logan Webb gets so many called strikes on a sinker because guys try to be passive on the changeup. So that worked against the Giants. And now he gets the Cardinals. I guess we're Vargas rolling it. I guess we're doing it. He's in a good groove. You have Tanner Bibee against the Yankees. How did this work? Well, 6 innings, 2 runs, but 5 hits and 3 walks in 5 Ks. And the first pitch of the game was a fastball down and middle and Ben Rice took an oppo taco, which is kind of deflating. So if you want, you can say it's 6 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 3 walks, 5 Ks after that. But this was Koufax. Bibee does not have the feel for his secondaries. And if you followed my comments on Bibee over the years, you'll know that I don't love his fastball. And it's a changeup and a slider or cutter, whatever they want to call it. It's the same pitch. It's a slider. I'm going to just start calling it a slider now. He has a sweeper that is the old, I don't know, they essentially has a new sweeper, so they decided to call cutter sweeper. I don't know. It's 87 of a breaking ball, okay? And this pitch was so good last year. I mean, he changed the movement of it slightly, and that's why they split it off. And it was so effective. And then this year, it's terrible. And it's still terrible. You know, the changeup really got him through this a bit. But 4 over 106 whiffs. That is 106 pitches, only 4 whiffs for Tanner Bibee. I think that tells you that he is not fixed. I mean, it's clear as day if you want to see something here. So this could just be a Dennis. That is a guy who's trending down but then has a beneficial start that makes you think it's going to stick around, but it doesn't actually. That's like Dennis from 30 Rock. He shows up, but it doesn't happen for long. Like, she's happy at first, Liz Lemon, but no, not around for long. You have Jack Flaherty, and by the way, also with Tanner Bibee, I would sell now. Because it does seem like maybe he's getting better. But for the most part, I think you have to hold and hope that that cutter slash slider, whatever, that breaking ball really steps up. Also, he did throw a little bit harder. I think he was kind of amped for this one against the Yankees, but four-seamer is not the issue here, guys. It's the secondaries. Jack Flaherty, anyway, golden goal, 17 was 39% CSW with 9 strikeouts and 6 innings. The curve and slider are just so good, guys. I can't express that enough. It's so good, the bottom of the zone. And even against the Padres, like, he's just feeling it like he did the first half last year. It's amazing. We talked about Shohei Nobunaga, 5.2 innings of 2 runs. Sorry, not 6. It was 5.2. 6 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. I mean, that turned into a slugfest, apparently. I actually watched live on playback.tv when that home run was hit. That was so cool. What was that? Miguel Amaya, I believe. That was awesome. It barely got out to tie the game in the 10th. That was so awesome. Sorry for those who have Tanner Scott. Yeah, Shota Minaga, honestly, didn't have a good command game, but got through it against the Dodgers. Props to him. Nick Martinez was our streaming pick of the day, and it worked out. 5.2 innings of 200 runs. Yeah, the whip isn't great. 7 base runners. It's not terrible. It's like, what, 121 or something like that? This worked. It's a Philly. He found the edges pretty well, and the curve just wasn't well commanded. But, oh, man, he was so close to getting through six and 79 pitches, too. Oh, man. Will Warren against the Guardians, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. So he only faced lefties. The Guardians went so lefty heavy in this one, obviously, against him. And Will Warren has had the same issues in the past, like your typical sweeper sinker guy, where they need a big tool against lefties. Thing is, Will Warren is flat with his four seamer now. Not the same vert, though. It was like 17 inches when I got really excited. Now it's at 15. I'm like, oh, okay, fine. But flat four seamer means there is opportunity for that pitch to be good upstairs. And he was generally up with it and sinking it over the plate. There were good changeups down and away for outs. Sweepers were going for backdoor strikes. It's not complete, as I really do need to see something else here, because the changeup's good. The sweeper shouldn't really be getting away with this as much, and it didn't always. While the four-seamer, I want to see it dominate a little bit more against lefties. But the fact that this is the line for Will Warren against only left-handers, where right-handers are the guys that he demolishes more because the sweeper is that good. That's his best pitch. Well, that's kind of cool. He is a solid Toby in my view now. He should be able to get a fair number of wins for the Yankees. 82 pitches here means also that Will Warren should be able to go 6 innings moving forward. Scott Blewitt against the Cardinals was there only because Strider hurt his hamstring. How did he do it? He blew it out. Okay. We hope he's okay, Strider, and Blewitt just showed up for 48 pitches and it was a bullpen game. All right. Patrick Corbin against the Athletics got the win. 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. Honestly, that's really cool for Patrick Corbin. That's great. Sinker got a ton of called strikes. Slider was really good low, and the cutter was sometimes good and sometimes bad. It's Patrick Corbin. Don't do this. But that was fun. Christopher Sanchez, terrible news. He left this game early with forearm soreness. His velocity was under 95 after being like 96, 97 previously. Yeah. Not cool. Really 96 before. He was under 95. He's more close to last year's marks. I hope he's okay. Forearm soreness generally is a very, very bad thing. But we've seen it being like nerve damage that can be fixed, right? It's not just a death sentence for TJ necessarily. We'll wait to find out more. It's very, very sad news. Regardless, because he should spend some time on the IL. Do not expect Christopher Sanchez to make his next start. Zach Littell against the Diamondbacks. 6 innings, 3 earned runs. 6 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks. That's nice. He got a poor quality start. Do not trust Zach Littell. Just going to lay that out there. Do not trust this. Bailey Falter, 4 innings of 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks against the Angels. He left this game with back tightness. He has a late extension with 19 inches of vert. And one day, there will be a team that acquires him from Pittsburgh who knows how to exploit this from Bailey Falter and get the best out of him with that foundation. I still wish he has a changeup. I still wish he gets traded to the Rays or just someone else. And only a matter of time. Only a matter of time, guys. We'll see. Edward Cabrera against the Reds. It was interesting. 5 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, but 7 strikeouts as he hosted them. So it should be a little bit easier. I mean, Max Meyer had 14 Ks against this team, yeah. But strikes are just not there. 42% strikes on the changeups. Just come on, Cabrera. That's supposed to be like your glue of this arsenal. I will say, one of the things I've been talking about with Edward Cabrera is I want him to throw more sliders. And guess what? He threw 39% sliders to right-handers. That's cool. 52% strikes, not cool. So, we'll see. We'll see with Edward Cabrera. I will continuously tell you about this and say maybe it does work with Edward Cabrera in the future. I don't know. Okay. Chris Bassett against the Astros. 5.1 innings of 4 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. Yeah, not nearly as good as last week. And honestly, it's kind of funny because all the praise started coming out. We had an article from Nate Schwartz talking about Chris Bassett. There are a lot of things out there about how good Chris Bassett has been and why. And here he is not doing well because that's just how baseball works. Is that guys do well in moments and then they don't do well others. I still like Bassett. 47% sinkers is kind of strange. It's a little too high to right-handers. The curve also wasn't as good, right? So that happens. It's fine. We still like Chris Bassett. Bryce Miller is having a tough season. He went to Fenway. 4.2 innings of 4 earned runs, 5 hits, 4 walks, and 4 strikeouts. He's trying as much as he can to figure out his secondaries, right? He's trying to throw splitters and curves to lefties. He has some sliders and sinkers to righties. The four-seamer just isn't destroying guys. And that really needs to be the foundation. What makes him elite is when that four-seamer is elite, as it should be, And also there's more. We haven't seen the four-seamer really be that pitch yet, so hopefully he can get there. Andre Pallante, yeah, no, we're not going to go with this. 4.1 innings and one strikeout. I call him Andre 3K, which is 3,000. Andre 3,000, and then minus two if it's not three strikeouts, because he has those strikeouts, and it's outcast. Okay. all right, you have Jordan Hicks against the Brewers. Oh, man, this is so frustrating. So I've been really in on the Hicks train. He's had a tough schedule. There are so many reasons for why it hasn't worked. But at the end of the day, Hicks, you got to do two things. One, you got to have good enough sinker command. And two, you got to have a secondary that you can throw for strikes. Just like one of them that consistently throughout the start. And what's really nice about Hicks this year is that after his first start of throwing like 98, last year what we saw that same velocity and then dropped up to 95, 96. Quickly did 96 and then kind of stuck there. What we've seen since is lots of 97s, 98s, and 99s. This was 97 on the four-seamer. Oh, sorry, on the sinker. But he just threw it over the plate while the sweeper and the splitter just did not help. And yes, he got singled out a good amount. I mean, even in that inning of 300 runs early on, he had a splitter that was kind of good and got the ground ball in a situation where he needed it, but it just squeaked through the hole. It's like you give yourself the opportunity for that though, right? So it's really frustrating with Jordan Hicks. And I know a lot of people holding on because I keep saying holding on and I get it and I apologize. I'm telling you what I see. And what I see is that Jordan Hicks is throwing harder and more consistently as ever. The sinker should be better than it is. And generally we do see that sweeper or splitter get more strikes than he has been. So I see an effective quality start guy, but maybe I should be considering him more as a hipster at the moment. And I don't have him as high as I do, say, Roop, and I do Max Meyer, and etc. So keep that in mind. But let's just say this. He gets the Rangers next, and then it's Rocky Road. And I feel like it's good enough chance of success against the Rangers that he's going to hold on to him for also Rocky Road. Okay? You have Dean Kramer against the Nationals. 5.1 innings of 5 earned runs, 11 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. Oh, boy. I call him the 15-team hipster, but like, is he even that? Don't go for Dean Kramer. He could honestly even be the best pitcher on the Orioles, which is kind of weird at the moment, but yeah. You have Osvaldo Beto not looking good against the Rangers. 8 earned runs in 5.1 innings. It's an understatement. He just threw so many pitches right down the pipe. When we say throw strikes, we don't mean like that, Beto. You don't want to go for him. It's just far too risky without a good enough reward. And on the other side, it's not the other side, but the last one for today is Jose Soriano against Pittsburgh. We thought this was an amazing stream. We thought this was like obvious. 3.1 innings of 5 earned runs, 8 hits, 4 walks, and 2 Ks. You want to know why? Because the foundational curve had a 33% strike rate. He actually even tried to make sliders work too. That had a 27% strike rate. The fact that his 68% strike rate sinker had 8 points more strikes than both the curve and slider combined, like 33 plus 27 equals 60%. Oh boy. That is not a good day for Soriano. Is it a showcase of what he'll be moving forward? No. We know he's going to get more strikes than that. This is just a bad day. And I want to really remind everybody that bad days happen to every pitcher. Every pitcher. I think actually what happens is that you get more scrutiny with the ones who are worse, right? Or the ones who are generally expected to be bad than the ones who do well. Like Dylan Cease had a horrific start. It doesn't matter because you're like, well, he's Dylan Cease. He's going to be great. It doesn't matter. But if Soriano has a bad start, if Dustin May has a bad start, if Max Meyer has a bad start, etc., we are going to scrutinize it so much more. And I think that's what makes this so tough. I think it what enrages more people. They're not allowed to. But I just want to mention, look, these are guys that you're trying to figure out churn and burn which one's going to work. And I'm telling you that these guys are generally better quality than others. If I'm seeing things inside of the games that I think are not going to stick at all, or they're just going to be more consistent, like Soriano, maybe we'll have some games like this. I'm telling you about Hicks is maybe the splitter and the sweeper aren't that good strike pitches, but the higher velocity means he should have that higher floor and the balls didn't go his way, right? Dustin May, an anomaly of a start. So think about that a lot when you get really upset at a lot of these bad games. I get it too. I get frustrated just like you. I'm like, oh. I feel like that meme a lot of the guy digging through the tunnel and he stops right before the gems. But then again, I see that at times when it's just like validating terrible gambler's fallacies. So I just want to put that out there of, I will tell you when the process is not there versus when the results aren't there. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for all of your support. As always, my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.